Go on, mate.
I need to get a booker.
Oh, what?
She's talking about my inadequacies at getting guests to come on the show, which is legendary now.
You need an assistant. I'll stand up for you, and he's very good, actually.
It's like I can't. It's like the I can edit thing. I could book a guest, but I just don't. It's just like a twat till the last minute.
You need an assistant.
Out of all the people I asked this week, I've had six dropouts. It's amazing you're even here at all. It's amazing I'm dressed.
You should get an apprentice to do it for you.
An apprentice? Oh, yeah, I'd settle for an apprentice coming for a frigging interview. That would be a start. People of the modern teenagers, a joke.
Didn't both of them show up, or what happened?
Neither showed up.
What?
The one on Tuesday didn't come at all. No word, no warning. And then the girl that was coming here yesterday, he was spoken to on Tuesday and said, what's the mileage rate? And she said, okay, that's fine. She just never showed. Didn't answer the phone calls from people. No idea. The college still hasn't heard from either of them. It's like...
crazy.
You're going to grow up to be poor and then complain about your life and then live off the state.
Yeah.
I'll come and work for you.
I'm not sure I can afford you, but...
No, I'll just set me up in the spare room in the office. You know, give me like gruel and
quavers.
Yeah, gruel and quavers. Yeah, and I'll do it. I'll do it. Salt. I'll give up my life.
You, Ewan, that'd make you hot boss.
No, it really wouldn't.
Ooh.
It would make me age boss. It would make me old boss.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here trying to discuss, negotiate and take on Righty as an employee of my company, but it's not working. It's not going well. So there you go. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, the fabulous bunch that is as ever, headed up by Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. I've got a really good CV and a great LinkedIn page. You want to check it? I will come over and I will work for tuppence.
You know, it's a bit of a shit commute, though.
Well, no.
You'd only be half an hour, and you'd be looking to go early to get the train back because of the rush hour when the horse and cart come out.
Well, you could put me in the box like the Gimp and get me out whenever you need me, couldn't you?
Okay. Okay. I think you should talk it over with your wife first, mate, though.
I think she'd be relieved, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You been all right, boy?
I've been all right, mate. I've been in and out of being ill this week, and I was at the doctor today having my 40-74 health check, and I'm apparently fit, which, considering the way I treat myself, is a bit of a surprise. So I indulged in wine and takeaway just to celebrate.
Yeah, you're one of those annoying bastards with a fast metabolism that doesn't put a streak on.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
Well, that's why you shoot me from the waist down. Waist up, sorry.
Don't forget you stood up and shown your Star Wars pyjamas.
I have. They're legendary.
They are. Next to him, not in sepia vision, but has been in sepia for quite a lot of this evening, messing around with his camera settings. Campion, how you doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm really good. Just had a week off work and, feeling quite relaxed.
How was the no-name band last week?
No, last week. Oh, no, so 2 weeks in a row. I've had pass outs to see to concerts. I went to see the Cortinas last week.
You haven't. Not from me, mate.
Oh, not pass out from you. Sorry, pass out from the missus.
Wow.
So yeah, I go to gigs quite regularly. Just all happened that they all came together in November. There were 3 weeks in a row that I managed to go see him. But yeah, sorry, missed two shows, so sorry about that.
Hasn't got a note for his mum, has he?
Mate, if you think you're getting first story, think again. Patrice, where are you, mate? See, the thing is, the real good thing is, the real good thing is there that Camps is completely unprepared. He's only brought one story, so I'm going to let everyone else go first. So that his backside is twitching like crazy that he won't have anything. Patrice, sorry, mate, to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you got back home safe.
Yeah.
You met rude people at the German airport, which I'm surprised you didn't meet any at Birmingham airport.
Well, I wasn't at the Birmingham airport this time. Maybe that's the issue. Yeah. I mean, usually Heathrow is pretty nice. So, I don't know.
Was it good to be back, or is it like, oh.
A little bit of both. I mean, after a week of traveling, it's always good to be back home. But on the other hand, it was, okay, tomorrow I have to go back in the office. And I mean, the last week was really, really cool. So,
and you didn't need
it was a little bit of both. And I really missed your kids. I mean,
they missed you, mate. You didn't need on a high as well, didn't you? So that's the thing. You know, that after you've spent a weekend in our household. Oh, it's only down from there. And last but by no means least, sat here reading his iPad, and bloody hell, he picked the mic up then. Steady on.
Maybe he has learned something from me.
Muller.
Hello. I learnt from Patrice. He said, hold it like this.
Yeah, no, I say you missed the first time. Never mind. You're all right, mate. We just thank you for the curry as well. He's just bought me a curry.
Oh, good man. Right.
Yeah, it's rather cool.
I bought you one, right, but you weren't here.
I'll be up for curry soon, promise.
Okay.
All right, mate. It's fine. The Week in Tech, the big stories, what's been happening. That's what's called a big show. It's not anything to do with big stories of the week. There's loads of stuff going on, but who's picked what? And Muller's started us off. Is that you, straight away, Muller?
Yeah, I thought I'd beat Peter Paulhams today.
You have? Oh, got me. Christ.
Oh, I got you, man. Oh, Jesus.
The British Film Institute plans to digitise at least 100,000 at-risk TV programmes.
Oh, come on, tell us more then. Well, if you can find the mic.
Sorry. Well, basically, that's exactly what it is. They're going to do it for the next 5 years. They're going to find all the at-risk programmes, like Basil Brush from 1948 onwards, Nationwide, which I remember just about, and lots of other programmes that are on 2-inch and 1-inch tape. And those machines are fast disappearing, and they want to save them before the people who can operate them retire.
But who wants to save Basil Brush?
Oh, man. Boom, boom. Yeah.
I think they've called it Project Muller.
Have they?
Yeah.
No.
God, twat.
Boom, boom.
But I've been looking forward to watching some of these, particularly stuff from the 60s and 70s.
It's a 5-year plan to digitise and preserve at least 100,000 at-risk shows.
Yeah. And it's comedies, dramas, documentaries, children's and breakfast TV. Well, breakfast TV didn't happen until the 80s, did it? I didn't think.
Well, Frank Boff's still not sure after everything shoved up his nose, isn't he? So.
Oh, yeah. That was a quiz question the other day on a quiz at the pub.
What, is that not true then?
No, Frank Boff. Oh, yeah. I scored the points. Yeah. I remembered.
Him and Selena.
Yeah. Oh, well, you would have though, wouldn't you, Selena?
Well, I don't think she'd let you. But distinctly more taste. Who's the bloke there with Basil Brush?
I don't know. I think he's the previous host. I can't remember his name.
Oh, they're not credit. No.
it's the previous host. Yeah, of course, because someone just stood by.
Well,
Basil
I think
Brush,
it, I think really. It's before my time. Oh, that one, because I'm pretty sure it was.
It's not Mike Reed. Oh, no, it's not my
read. It was the previous one. Oh, crikey. No, I think that's the one before.
If only there was a thing you could go to find out by just typing in a search. That's incredible. I'm going to paint that.
Yeah, I think back when...
You should go ahead and, I mean, build that. Totally. We definitely need something like that.
Yeah, I could sell advertising on it, and I'd make a fortune, and then I could do maps for people to find in the car and stuff like that, and... It'd be great, and I could have lots
like
of
a great
that
idea.
I could just completely abandon after it's no for no good reason after about 6 months. Really missing the trick there. So the last 48 show, 1948 show, Basil Brush and Nationwide. Who was the bloke on Nationwide?
Not Middlemore, wasn't it? Something like that.
No, there was a guy who had a really, really hard voice. He's from Yorkshire, I think.
It was Middlemore was the main man. He was the main anchor, wasn't he? Or was he the Midlands anchor? Because it was all over the...
He was a bloke who clearly smoked 60 cigarettes during the show, but not on camera. And he had a really hard voice.
It was the first network show, wasn't it?
It was like Bernard Manning, but with a touch of etiquette.
I don't know. Because as I said, it was the first show that was properly networked, wasn't it?
All I can say when I come out with things like Basil Brush... And Nationwide is a pile of Yanks listening to us in the States furiously typing into Google
Basil Brush
who they think these people are.
And if they put the wrong thing in, what will they get?
You guys might as well be speaking Chinese. I mean, I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Well, the story basically is they're going to try and save a lot of old British programmes before they disappear, before the tape gets destroyed.
Michael Barrett.
Michael Barrett. Oh, yeah, I remember
that
him.
Barrett.
Michael Barrett. It's Michael Barrett. I swear, yeah, I mean, 900 cigarettes a day.
Did he build homes? Well, that was a joke.
That's a crap joke.
Oh, God.
Hang on, there's a video in me. Oh, and Sue Lawley was on Nationwide, of course.
Oh, yeah. Before she went to Top Gear. That's a funny voice, yeah.
That's not like Barrett, that's a frigging helicopter. That's
Barrett Holmes, isn't it, when they landed the helicopter?
No, it's just... Michael Barrett, Nationwide on YouTube. Here we go.
It'll probably be in black and white.
And it still comes up with the helicopter video.
Is he on it?
No, he's not on it. It's just a helicopter landing in a street, and that's the end of the film. Season one, the co-hosts for Basil Brush were, back when she's really been going here on IMDb, season one, Rodney Bewes, that's definitely not Rodney Bewes, yeah. Derek Folds, that might be him, Roy North, Howard Williams, and Billy Boyle. We need pictures of all of those before the end of the show, so that we can find out who it is, because I'm not going to lie awake thinking about it. No, I'm not. I absolutely am not. I hope you like the Christmas decorations, by the way. Look, I've made an effort here. I've put Christmas decks up. Yeah. After complaints on the Mac show. Basil Brush has got a wiki.
He has. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, bloody hell. So, would you fund this project then, Mother? Is that what you're saying?
It is being funded, I presume, from lottery money or something. I don't know how it's being funded, but I think it's important.
What kind of a debate were you expecting when you picked that story?
I actually didn't think I'd get much of a debate. My other story was going to be about Tesco Bank, because they've discovered how they broke into the bank now.
All right, go on.
Well, apparently, they guessed the passwords and the numbers on the credit cards. They literally guessed them.
On how many? On 25,000 accounts?
Yeah, I can paste the story, but basically okay. That's what they did. They basically guessed them all, which is quite shocking.
Apparently, well, the credit card numbers are relatively easy.
Apparently it doesn't work on, it only works on Visa, it doesn't work on MasterCard. But it basically, they just brute force hacked them. I'm just looking for the story, because I did save it just in case, but I got in first. But that's quite shocking. When I read the story this morning, I thought, how the hell have they managed that? Just by guessing? Hold on, it's a bit hard to balance that.
Because people pick crap passwords, probably.
What is yeah. It? Well, they're not. As I said, the credit card number itself is not that hard, because, I mean, follows a well-known pattern. So that's, I mean, just generate a bunch of credit card numbers and then try it. The password is the harder part, usually.
But if you're using
crap passwords...
Well, they've guessed the actual card number and everything else and the numbers on the back. It just seems weird to me. All the banks are denying it. But my bank use is verified by Visa, so apart from Amazon, I'll be okay.
Right.
But okay. That is quite shocking that they've basically guessed the numbers.
That is quite shocking. That wasn't a big discussion either, really, was it?
Not really, no. Well, one person will excuse himself from that, and the other person doesn't have a bank.
Well, he does. It's a river bank.
It's a river bank, yeah.
Tales of the River Bank. Do you remember that one?
Oh,
from the 70s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was Hammy awesome. Hamster. That was the Broads. Yeah. Righty's picked. Amazon isn't playing nice with Plex's new cloud service.
Plex is BTN's favourite media thing, as Will Green has said many times over the years, but I've always been an advocate of how amazing Plex is, and with the new Apple TV, with Plex on it, I've got Plex media servers, and they've just made the Plex mobile app free for everyone, which is great. But they've now just, when they first announced their cloud service, they did a deal with Amazon Cloud Drive. So you can upload your stuff to Amazon Cloud Drive, and you wouldn't need it always on media PC in your house. You could just pull it out of Amazon.
Yeah, but, and the nice thing was that you would get the Amazon Drive basically for free if you signed up for Plex Cloud. At least that's what they announced. I mean, it's still a beta, so you can't actually sign up, but that's what they said they would do.
Yeah. So now they've announced this week that they're actually going to spread that cloud kind of integration into Google Drive, Dropbox, and OneDrive. You think, well, that's great, you know, because I run my media server. It sits in my front room. It runs all day. It's great, and I can pull all my media off it whenever I want, through the web, through the app, no matter what. It's great. But what people have complained about since this announcement is that Amazon have now turned around and they're now restricting people uploading their files to Amazon Cloud Drive for use on Plex.
And they're only limiting ones that are using on Plex.
Well, I guess you have to, it's the same with Plex as you do on your media server. You have to nominate a drive that Plex pulls from. So I guess there's a folder within Amazon Drive that you say, this is where all my Plex movies are, this is where all my Plex music is. And they've suddenly started limiting the amount that you can do. And I'm calling wanker on this because... no, because Amazon is such a big company. They've got so many services. And Plex is really for the geeks. They're getting most of their business through people who are happy to sign up for streaming music services and streaming movie services and TV shows and all those sort of things. But there are us geeks who want to do their own thing, and we get the opportunity to use it through either Amazon Drive or, you know, OneDrive, which I'm not a big advocate of. I pay for OneDrive, Dropbox, and Google Drive. But if I've paid my Plex Pass, which then partly funded my Amazon Cloud Drive, them to suddenly turn around without any, there's been no notification or no statement from them saying, do you know what, if you're uploading stuff that you're that's being pulled through by Plex, we're gonna limit it. That's a little bit dodgy.
I mean, you're suggesting immediately there that people who have copyright control over licensed content want you to do your own thing, because they absolutely don't.
Well, they don't, and Plex is a bit of a bit of a weird one, because I'm sure in the way that Apple did the iTunes Match, it was kind of an amnesty on music, wasn't it? And you paid money, but all the music up there, whether you bought it or not, was part of part of their service. Plex, probably 99% of people probably have stuff they shouldn't really have, because it's going to be DVD rips, which you can't really do. So how they've signed those agreements with Microsoft, Google, and Amazon makes you wonder the legality of it all. But the fact that Amazon has now turned around and said, no, you can't do it anymore, or we're going to limit the amount you can do.
Hang on, let's just go back to the legality of it all statement, righty. What do you think you're legally entitled to do?
Well, Amazon Drive, I have a service with Google Music. And Google Music allows me to have 50,000 songs uploaded to their servers for free, but I can stream through the Google Play Music app.
All right. What do you think you're legally entitled to there, then, with that?
I don't think I'm legally entitled to anything, and I'm surprised that I get away with it, to be perfectly honest.
There you go.
Because
now you're in the world of reality, mate.
Well, I've always been in the world of reality, mate, but at the end of the day, Microsoft must know that people are putting their media up on OneDrive. Well, actually, Microsoft is doing a thing now where I think through OneDrive you can stream your music on Windows phones and stuff. But they're not checking to see whether you legally own that music. I don't think they actually give a toss who owns the music. But Amazon, as a seller of music, maybe they're getting a little bit arsy about it.
Righty, so I'm not a Plex user, so it might be an educate Chris answer this, but. So, you upload your upload your films to Amazon Drive, and you nominate in Plex the drive where you're storing your content.
Yeah,
Amazon see the media being streamed to an IP address, which is your home IP address.
Yeah.
So how do they know it's streaming to your own Plex server? Would there be an algorithm in there that? You know, that the Plex app is calling it specifically. Well, I suppose what I'm asking is, how do Amazon know that that content isn't just content you've stored there? How do they know that that's specifically streaming to Plex?
Well, obviously, Amazon have a huge cloud infrastructure, one of the biggest cloud infrastructures there is. So they've probably got the algorithms to work out that you're pulling that down from, you're not pulling it down through an Amazon service. You're pulling it down to your own service, because the two things you can do with Plex is, one, have a PC set up in your house and a Plex media client put on that, and you can keep everything on that and stream it to the world from home. You have to nominate drive on your PC, and Plex knows what those are, and it must do, and it go through my Plex, which is their membership service, or Plex Pass if you're a paid subscriber. Mm-hmm. There must be some protocol that goes through that realizes it's going through my Plex, because it has to go out of Amazon to Plex, out to your media player of choice, which would either be the web client or the mobile client or the desktop client on your machine or the one on your iPad. So I reckon they're looking at that traffic, and they're going, anything that goes up to the folders that is being pulled through the protocol of Plex to be distributed elsewhere is against whatever rules they were. But up until they announced that they were pairing OneDrive and Google Drive, they were more than happy for people to do that. But without any notice, they're now pulling that service.
Are you sure they're pulling it though completely?
Well, I'm not saying they're pulling it, but the reports say, and I've looked at like five or six news stories tonight, is that users who signed up with a Plex Pass, who had an Amazon Cloud Drive as part of their Plex Pass, are now being throttled on the amount that they can upload and download. And that is ever since the announcement of this partnership with other parties.
They're limited on the amount that they can upload and download within a given time, or they're limited total upload download?
A certain amount.
Yeah, but so that's
users have been complaining that Plex forums have been able to upload their files to Amazon's online cloud service. Some customers said Amazon has placed limits on the uploads, possibly due to how much content some people have been uploading, but Plex staff haven't confirmed the details. So it's a bit of a misnomer at the moment. We don't know if it's a service outage or whatever, but it really, with the timing, looks like Amazon have cut the service to the people who were using when they're exclusive with Plex. They're now saying, well, you're probably going to go elsewhere, or they're just not unhappy with having other partners. They said, we're not with partners anymore. We're going
to be fair to Amazon. Yeah. To be fair to Amazon, though, righty, Plex have run that agreement with them, but are now adding support for Google Drive, Dropbox, and Microsoft OneDrive.
Yeah,
and Dropbox is shit for movies. I mean, I can't send a corporate movie to a customer through Dropbox that's longer than 12 minutes, because they just refuse to let you send anything that's more than 12 minutes. Well,
that's a professional account.
Account that I paid for, which is why I've got a real problem with Dropbox, and I tell them to shove it up their ass when they try to renew it.
And you can the limit on Dropbox, I think what you can get is 1 terabyte. So that is not that much if you think about how big a movie could be.
1 terabyte as well. And the limit on Google Drive is 1 terabyte.
Yeah. That was the appeal of Amazon Drive, because Amazon Drive, was supposed to be really unlimited. Just to be fair, I read the story you posted, and I mean, it doesn't say that Amazon is limiting it. It just says that people are complaining that they can't upload right now, and it could also be simply an issue somewhere, a bug somewhere, that something isn't working as it is supposed to be. Simply because, I mean, this is still in beta. So I think we should be fair here and say, okay, could also just be an issue. But we will see how it works out. I'm also skeptical about, either of the other options, Google OneDrive or Dropbox, because I don't think they are as good as what Amazon would be offering.
So if Amazon were to pull out fully, that would, they're looking to actually kill this service.
Mm-hmm. The question is, can they even, I don't know how that works, but can they even pull out? I mean, supposedly any customer can upload to their drives whatever they want. And I mean, I could point my Plex server to an iCloud folder, an iCloud folder, for example. That would probably work somehow.
But I wouldn't be surprised if with this, if Amazon came out with a Plex rival, something that you could download and an app, their own app, that said that you could do your own thing on this. And as we were walking away from this, we had a partnership with a certain company. They've pissed us off because they've gone with other people. But here's the Amazon Cloud Drive app that you can install on all of your devices, and you can download it straight from us. And that keeps their customers with them.
That might be actually... That's a good point. could happen.
It's just a soft, it's a soft pillow, just saying, you know, do you know, because Plex is based on the XBMC thing with Kodi and the Xbox Media Player. They're all sprung off from them, so it's open source content. I'm sure Amazon have the money to take the open source content, build their own media server that you can install and run with themselves and say, we are the unlimited one. You only get a terabyte or one drive of Google and Dropbox, and you're going to do 12 minutes of video on Dropbox. Come with us. So maybe it is moving away.
Even without the open source part, I mean, Amazon has Amazon Video. So they, I think they have the core technology is already there for them. So it's just a matter of, well, packaging it into a customer-facing product that where people can have their own libraries.
Yeah, instead of the Amazon library. You can have Amazon Video with all of your the paid stuff and the stuff you could buy, plus your library.
Yeah, exactly. So it would probably be easy for them to do that.
So yeah, that's maybe their move.
That could actually be.
I hadn't thought about that when I looked at the story, but yeah, that may be the way they're going.
So it's not the end of the world.
Definitely not.
Yeah, there we go, righty. Calm down, mate. Come out from under the bed, you're safe.
No, but you had a discussion though, didn't you?
Patrice.
Yeah, I picked a story that fits to what we are talking about. I mean, whether Amazon still offers it or not, there's a way to upload your entire video library by ordering a truck. Amazon has a new truck, what they call the snowmobile, which is a truck hauling a huge hard drive. It's, I think, 100 petabyte or 100,000 terabytes in a truck, all secure. I mean, and you can, I mean, I don't know what it costs. It's probably crazy expensive, but it is supposed to be used for, I mean, if you have, if you're a big company like, well, Amazon or Google or I don't know, some video, I mean, Sony or someone who has a large amount of data and they want to transfer it from point A to point B in the world. It would take, I mean, even with gigabit connections and so on, it would take a really, really, really long time. I mean, a couple of years probably to transfer 100 petabytes of data from one point to another in the world. And with this truck, it can happen within a couple of days.
So this is a carrier pigeon?
Well, a big, really, really big one.
It's a really big carrier pigeon. So we still haven't exceeded.
Yeah.
There is still big data that needs to go by road.
Can you articulate that?
Oh, shut up. I'm not having crap. Bryony took her book of shit, kids shit jokes, and it's not called that, I admit, but you might find it on Amazon, I don't know. But she took two books over to the courier house, and she spent the whole time sitting telling shit jokes. And guess what? Muller was in his element. He just sat there lapping them up. They're all going to come out in the chat room in the next few days.
Yep.
And it's just like, he doesn't need encouragement, Bryony, for Christ's sake. You're 7, you can get away with it. He's not, he's 56. Shouldn't be allowed.
He's that young.
Shouldn't be allowed. Just shows you what hard living can do to you there, righty. See?
I know.
Still look younger than you.
I better clean up.
I mean, so... here's the question then. You're saying it's 18 petabytes, is it? Or 100 petabytes? Is it?
100 petabytes.
100 petabytes that are being moved.
How
long would that take to send via a standard domestic connection?
They are saying with a gigabit connection like Google Fiber, it would take more than 28 years to transfer.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's upload 100 petabytes over the internet.
Yeah. And with this truck, I mean, it takes however long it takes to get from point A to point B, and then about 10 days to transfer the data onto a server.
And if you're listening and you're on the BT exchange that's more than 2 miles away from the exchange, then we'll explain megabyte to you later in the show. Don't worry yourselves about Petabyte, okay? Just fast forward this bit.
Yeah. It's just a crazy amount of data.
It is, yeah, no. So, yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting if you could do like the, it's not, I know it's not Moore's Law, but it'd be interesting if you could do the, okay, in this current age, that's the equivalent of 5 megabytes in 1950, and that was when they used to load it onto a plane and fly it, and, you know.
Yeah.
And it would be good if you could do that kind of comparison and work out how big that would be. And then if you did this, you know, if you can extrapolate the logarithmic improvement of that and then do the same thing and say, right, okay, 100 petabytes in 45 years will be this SanDisk, you know.
Yeah.
And you really could fit it to a pigeon.
Yeah.
That would be a good little study to do, wouldn't it? I'm not going to waste my time doing it, don't get me wrong. But Deep Pan in the chat has got a question. He wants to know if the lorry is USB 3 compatible.
Well, you could probably plug in USB into one of the servers, but I don't think it will help you anything.
Is this just static data, or is it a server that's in there that's worrying away that needs power? Because that's going to get mega hot. You don't go over it. You wouldn't be ice road truckers with that, would you? Because it'd be like you'd burn a hole through.
Then it's a good question whether they simply put the, I mean, whether you simply load the disks and then just install it in the server, or whether you actually upload it within the server.
I've got a question for you. Does the lorry need a driver?
It's a Google.
Oh, God. Take that back away from
me. At an average speed of 65 miles per hour, on the other hand, you could drive a snowmobile from San Francisco to New York City in 45 hours. But you get a ticket, surely.
Yeah, if you can.
So that means the transfer rate of this 100 petabytes is 4.9 gigabits per second.
On the road.
Yeah, that's, no, so that's
4,970 gigabits per second.
Yeah, what's your fastest?
Not 4.9.
4,970 gigabits per second. My mistake. Do apologise.
Yeah.
So that's currently the world record for data transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does say that all of the trucks are weatherproofed, tamper-resistant, and all data is encrypted. Now, by the fact that it's saying that all data is encrypted would suggest to me that all of the data is actually stored on disks in that are already in that truck, rather than disks being loaded into a... I suppose for the sake of it, some sort of cradle in there.
Yeah, I'm guessing that is true, and they probably just connect a big bunch of gigabit cables to the truck, and then you upload the data. Because I mean, that is just a short distance, so that is really fast, and you can parallelize it. I mean, you can put in as many lines as you need.
You know, there's a Wesley Snipes movie in this, don't you? There really is.
Yes.
But he'll have to go buy a dongle first.
For your MacBook.
The lorry could drive down the superhighway, couldn't it? The information superhighway.
Or it's, what's his name?
It gets worse.
It's a Gerard Butler movie waiting to happen. Where he's the trucker and he's got to save the data because the Russians are after it.
Or it's the next Fast and Furious. They're trying to steal the data.
you could put the lorry on the plane, put the box into the car, drive the car around the world until you get home. Yeah, it says Mr. Batwinch.
We could have Bruce Willis actually. He could call it Hard Drive.
Oh!
Drive Hard.
Drive Hard.
4.0. Yeah.
Could it be speed 3? If you go below 49 gigabits per second, it's going to blow up.
Oh, he's too expensive now.
Yeah. If you get below 49 miles per hour, there's a blow up Sandra Bullock. Is that the show title right there? A blow up Sandra Bullock.
I like it. I don't know.
Oh man.
No, that is where the alien signal is downloaded to.
I might not sleep tonight now.
I want to see the trailer for this one.
No, guys, if we all go and get some green sheeting, right? in the next couple of days, we could make this movie remotely, push it all together. We could put the data in a truck, drive it to BTN HQ Prime. I could sit and edit it together, and we could distribute this.
Yeah.
This would be a cult classic.
Yeah.
This is right up there with Yo Soka Doji or whatever it is that Righty Boy had last week. And we could throw in some tentacle porn just for added interest.
Yeah. Oh, it could be Rubber Duck.
Oh, the tentacles could be coming out of the... Sandra Bullock could be in the driver, and she could have picked Bruce Willis up or something like that on the way, right?
And a tentacle...
First female ice road trucker that doesn't look like Bruce Willis. and the tentacles could come out of the ice.
Oh.
Told you. See, this it's
genius.
It's a screenplay right there.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong industry. Oh, I am in that industry. What am I talking about?
Somebody you broke. Oh, dear.
Oh, mate. Laser tentacles could cut their way out of the ice, says Batwinch. I can't have that as a show title, Bronwyn. That's just not...
Okay, what's the Bronwyn?
I got a stick off Muller for forgetting to use your show titles when you come up with them, but I can't use that one. I just can't. That's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Is this the future of data, then? Fossil fuels moving it everywhere? That just doesn't seem right.
No, it's got to be L's.
No. I mean, there's a question. How many companies actually need this truck? I mean, I can only imagine very few.
But then, what do you do with the truck when you're finished with it? Do you just drive it somewhere else?
Well, don't forget though, you need three trucks.
What, a backup?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, so good backup strategy requires three copies.
Or five.
Yeah.
So there's one up in space.
Yeah.
And then there's two on the road.
One on Mars.
Because you've got to have a backup of the
SpaceX
backup.
SpaceX will create a rocket with hard drives.
Yeah, we've got to have one in a separate location, and then we've got to have two backups. If it doesn't exist in three places, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's true.
So you've got to have three trucks for every bit of data.
Can you raid trucks?
No, because you can't connect them.
Yeah, so here we go, right? This is where... We've got a truck. This is Australia, you see. We've got a truck that's got a half-kilometre long chain of wagons on it. And it goes over the level crossing, and a train goes through one of the trucks and completely destroys it. But because it's raid 5, the other trucks just join up and compensate.
You can lose two trailers.
If you lose two trailers, you're shagged, but...
I've got a bit.
I'm all about Raid 6, mate.
And we could get Alistair Dabbs to write the show notes for it. There he goes. He's in. He's remembered his password.
Hey, Dabsy.
Actually, I think he's just typed his password.
How long does the truck take to format?
he's put it in on his phone, and it says even a word that autocorrect is wise enough to leave alone.
a.dabs@theregister.co.uk. Password. You wrote Suki Doozy.
Yes, I wrote the show notes. I fly notes for that. I was so impressed with that last week. I really was. I don't know anyone famous.
And Batwench is, according to Mr. Batwench, working in a place where laser tentacles are being trialed.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah, he brings his work home.
Oh, Bronwyn's left the chat room now. She's got upset because I didn't use a show title. But I'm sure Sandra Bullock's never done that, and I think it would attract a lawsuit. I'm fairly sure.
I'll deal with it.
What, Sandra Bullock or Bronwyn?
Same time.
Okay. Not going down that road.
No, that's the kind of story you should be bringing, boys. Well done, boys. Well done.
Thanks.
Top job. Camps, have we? Was that yours? Have we covered your story?
No. I've been sat here panicking.
I was gonna do that.
I've dropped mine. It's in there. I'll paste the link again if you want.
I got it.
You got it. There we go. Anyway, so Eddie Wu, the ironically named director of product innovation at Netflix, has this week announced that Netflix viewers across the globe will be able to download certain shows to be able to watch offline. So the irony.
that this is innovation when everybody else is already doing it. But yeah, it's a story that caught my eyes initially. Saw it and thought, fantastic. At last, be able to download some. And then actually read a little bit further and realised that it's not all shows. It's not everything that Netflix has got. No. And actually, the majority that you can download is Netflix original content. So it's not licensed content from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything else that I've been able to see so far that is available for download is is not sort of your mainstream movies. It's the Channel 4, there's a bit of BBC type content in there as well. So I think Netflix well behind the rest of the pack in terms of being able to do this. Obviously, Amazon have been doing it for quite a while. Sky have been doing it for a while. Sky Q are touting that as a big part of their launch product in the UK. And I'm absolutely sure that a lot of the providers across the rest of the globe, particularly in the US, are already doing this. So I think Netflix, I think they've missed the boat a bit on this. And when they eventually have come to the party, that they certainly should be bringing a lot more than they have. So I don't know if this for me is, I don't know what Netflix is sort of blowing the trumpet about on this story at all.
Well, Netflix is everywhere, isn't it? That's the one thing Netflix has above everyone else. It's absolutely everywhere. I've got Netflix on my freaking kettle. It's everywhere. So I guess they were kind of like, you know, it's inbuilt in TVs, it's inbuilt in DVD players, it's inbuilt in, you know, the apps and all those sort of things. So you could get it more places. You could get your Sky Qs and all those sort of things, and your Amazon. No, you can't get, you can even get your Amazon on your Apple TV and those sort of things. So maybe they didn't feel the need to be able to have to do that. But they do say that they are going to roll out other things in the future if they get the licensing deals. And I think it's, you know, if there's crap on TV, Netflix is the first thing that I turn to. So to be able to download things if I've got a long trip would be great.
And then don't forget, I mean, Netflix is available all around the world. It's probably the service that is really available in most countries. I mean, if you're traveling, you will get the local catalog, but you will get something to watch. So,
no, just I think just to be clear, boys, because I don't like to be wrong. I've got it in my head that you can watch Netflix content through their app. Offline, have I got that wrong?
I don't know.
Well,
no, I don't think you can do that.
Thinking of Amazon Video, then maybe.
Yeah, Amazon Video. Yeah, you absolutely can do that with the majority of their content, if not all of their content.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that seems kind of weird. That if you look at, so you look at Amazon content, there's an awful lot of that stuff that's licensed stuff that you can download and watch through the app, and because it's through the app, it's well controlled. So there'd be a bit of going, they must have chucked a lot of money at that thing, because there's no other way that Netflix wouldn't be on that curve.
Yeah.
No, the difference is Amazon Video is only available in very, very few countries.
Stop, guys. You both talk at the same time. So, just Camps, finish your bit. Go on.
All right. Yeah. So what I was saying there is I've checked and there's some content that's on both Amazon and on Netflix. It is available for offline download on Amazon, but it is not on Netflix. So I think you bang on there. You and Amazon have thrown money out to it to make sure they've got that download license.
Yeah.
Whereas Netflix are not digging in that deep straight off the bat.
Yeah, good point.
And as I said, I mean Netflix is available in I think 100 something countries now. Amazon only in I think even a handful, 6 or 7 or something like that. So it's probably less money to do that than for Netflix.
I don't think Netflix are willing to do the deals, though, because when Apple announced the TV app for Apple TV this year, Netflix is not part of that. I don't think they will kind of partner with people.
I mean, I think that might be a separate issue, that they simply don't want people to use anything but Netflix.
Hmm. But they were still on the Apple TV. They still use Netflix. They're just integrated into the interface that Apple thinks is the best way to go for the Apple TV. So I don't understand why it's not part of that.
Well, because you're not. I mean, there's a potential that, I mean, if their content is mixed with, I don't know, HBO Go, for example, that you might not go to Netflix, and they want to be the place where you go. We simply say, okay, I don't even want to use Apple thing. I go directly to Netflix and watch whatever I want.
Hmm.
that is there. I think that is a separate issue. And Netflix has said in the past that they want the same catalog to be available all around the world, so no matter where you are. And that is probably more expensive to do because they need global licensing.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem, isn't it? Licensing is geographically split, and it's not global licenses for certain content.
Yeah, which is stupid, but that's a separate issue.
But that's something that Netflix, surely, with the content owners, that's a battle that they've got to be looking to battle to get the best out of their money.
Yeah.
We're getting shafted in England anyway, aren't we? Because, I mean, hasn't Amazon's got HBO and Cinemax in the US now? And we're just stuck with nothing.
Mm.
So for extra couple of dollars, they get a much better service now.
Well, they always do.
That's it, $15, which is probably less than what we're paying. And they get HBO, Cinemax, and all the rest of the stuff that we get.
Mm.
Just to bring it down, really.
Yeah, to press.
Yeah, I mean that is a pet peeve of mine. All the video streaming services that are, I mean, have great content that aren't even available at all in Europe.
But I suppose the flip side of it is Netflix are churning out some pretty good original content, and so long as that original content is available to download offline, that's probably what the majority of us are going to want.
Yep.
And you look at things like Stranger Things, House of Cards. If you can download them and watch them on the train on your morning commute, happy days. And I don't think, and on the flip side, I'm too bothered if there's a 15-year-old movie that I can't download.
I could download Happy Days.
Is that all that matters?
Well,
look, yes. Is it Happy Days? Can I download Happy Days?
Well, lucky for you, right? Is that currently what's are they showing the first season there in Norwich now?
No, I just think Kansas is an Happy Days, and I jumped on it with a bad joke, and it didn't go down too well.
Oh mate, wait till you get Doctor Who when that comes out there, you'll love it.
You and
I know it's black and white, boy, but it'll go colour eventually.
They got witchcraft.
But the thing is, look at it on the bright side, right? None of you got colour TVs yet anyway, so it won't matter.
No, watching this great program, Biker Grove is great. It's got this couple of Ant and Dec. They're going to be the new big thing, apparently.
Yeah, no, and Pop Black as well. Don't forget, that's on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Kickstart. That's really getting going.
And don't forget Nationwide.
This is a great show for our US listeners.
With Mike Barrett.
I'm watching Come Dancing. I think they might have a bit of a lull, but I think it might pick up later on in a couple of decades.
Seven.
No, Blake Seven's not there yet. He's got another 10 years to wait for Blake Seven, mate.
Wait till you see his funds hitting the music machine. Witchcraft.
My story is an interesting one. There was a bit of a to-do at the moment over the fact that there is a referendum in Italy on Sunday, and essentially. One of the most popular parties, the Five Star Movement, nothing to do with the 80s band that Righty hasn't heard yet, but they've created a web of false websites and news feeds that they constantly plug and fill with basically utter bollocks that goes out across these. I mean, it's complete fake news and misinformation that goes out from all of these websites, promoting their cause, promoting conspiracy theories about registered and established Italian government personnel, and pro-Kremlin propaganda. And there's a real issue at the moment that they believe that on Sunday the polls will be affected by what is utter fabrication. And I just thought it's interesting because you've had all the stuff that's gone on with Brexit, people about lying about what's going to happen with Brexit, and then we voted, and then all of a sudden, poof, the 350 million quid a week has disappeared. You've got the stuff that's gone on with Trump and, you know, him claiming that the election's going to be rigged, and there's 3 million people have voted in California that aren't registered to vote, they voted illegally. And there was a thing on CNN the other day where there was a group of 6 panelists who voted for Trump talking very, very pro-Trump stuff, and the woman that was doing it, and I'm well aware of the fact that CNN is probably a Democrat-biased news outlet, but you know, she was saying, so where did you get that story? Where did you see three? Oh, I think I saw it on CNN. No, you definitely didn't. We didn't run that story. I can promise you we didn't run that story. Where did you see it? How do you know that's true? And the woman's like, it must be true because they said it. And it, and the girl from CNN has got a hand up like this during it, and she's face palming. You know, it's not like the doll face palm. It's a genuine. I have no clue what I'm going to say next because these people are clearly off their rocker.
Yeah.
And Molly Wood tweeted out this afternoon, you know, we need far less fake news. And I tweeted back and I said, man, we don't need far less fake news. We need far less gullible idiots to believe that it is news.
Well, exactly.
And I just. There's the topic. I mean, is, you know, do we need less fake news? Yes, we do. But I mean, you know, blaming people for shouting their own propaganda is, I mean, you can go back to the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages and back to Roman times to start hearing about false propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, propaganda or even propaganda in general and false propaganda especially. I mean, it is bad, and I mean. Shouldn't happen. I mean, what the party in Italy is doing is definitely wrong. But I mean, you're absolutely right. We need people who have, I mean, who can differentiate between a good source and a bad one, and I mean, can use their freaking brains, because that is what is required. And apparently, it looks like people are not, or a lot of people at least, are not able to do that. I don't know where those people are from. I mean, where they have been hiding. But right now they seem to be coming out. So
wasn't there a thing on Facebook where people are actually resharing stories, but they're not clicking on the links to read them? They're just automatically resharing.
And that's part of the problem. People believe whatever they want to believe, and I think the politicians specifically, when you look at what happened in Brexit and the 350 million a week, you know, that came out. It didn't come out through a fake. A fake website. It came out in mainstream media. Politicians said the words out loud, and people grabbed hold of that and they spun it however they wanted to know. And I think Batwench makes a good point in that we need more fact checkers. Fact checkers. and I think what people before the vote, they just need to take a little bit of time to properly look into facts. And I think the slightest thing in the media now, whether it be social media or mainstream media, people just jump on it and they believe what they want to believe, and people will spin news to grab votes.
I think it's a different story if you're talking about, I mean, what people are believing or whom they are believing in. I mean, if you have the same true story and have two sides that are reporting it, they will have, depending on their background and so on, will have two different views on it, and that is okay. And I mean, depending on which side you're leaning on, you will believe the one or the other. And both of them are wrong, to be honest, because both of them are just presenting a different view on the same thing, and it's not the same thing. But what we're seeing here with really, especially with propaganda, is it is not even the basis for it is not true. So it's really wrong. It's not a different view on something that is true. It is just crap. And people are still believing it
But people who believe propaganda for the, I mean, let's, you know, there's a point here from Deepan in the chat room. He says fake news is just a new name for propaganda, and he's dead right. And I don't have a problem with the fact that it is just propaganda, and that's all there is to it. You know, those people do get swept along with propaganda. There are plenty of you know, the Mussolinis, the Stalins, the Hitlers of the world who've used propaganda to great, the Napoleons who've used it to great effect over the years. So it's
you're citing the wrong or the bad guys, but I mean, even on the other side, I mean, during Second World War, basically every country has used propaganda to a certain degree to sway the public opinion about the war. I mean, the US definitely did it, and I think Britain as well. Okay. So, I mean, it's not just the bad guys who are doing it. It's especially in those situations, I think everybody's doing it.
Religion. I got into deep trouble when I was in, I did a postgrad in law. And they had a thing where they said, they talked about debating and mooting and that kind of stuff, and they said, so name someone who was great orator who influenced people. And I said, Jesus Christ. And she said, well, you don't know that, though. She said, how do you know that that's a good influencer of people? I said, you're kidding. He's got an advertising budget of 5 fish and 2 loaves, and 2,000 years later, everyone knows his name. That's brilliant.
That's true. Yeah. So true.
You had a few publicists, though, didn't you?
it's also a lot to do the way that we consume the news now. It's either like sat on the loo or looking at it through Facebook or whatever. We don't read the whole story, we read the headline. And
was that a statement like cutting out the middleman? I just watch the news on the TV while I'm having a shit because it saves the time.
No.
It's just a pass through.
I have a serious point to make for once.
Oh, wow.
In the fact that a lot of people get their news through Facebook or social media, where they're friends with people who have like-minded opinions, those sort of things. You see the headline. You may not go and read the facts and those sort of things. What you mainly probably look and do is look at the comments that your friends have made, who are very same-minded as you. And you follow that. They go, do you know what? I'm not going to look at the facts. You know, the people who I know agree with me. It's like that thing where on Facebook, as part of the fake news, that they said that the Pope endorsed Donald Trump, and like a million people shared it. But if you actually looked at the back and Facebook page, who are on Facebook, they didn't notice it at all, but no one checked.
Well, that's it. They just employ an intern, don't they, who goes and checks the story, but just checks it Google and then finds out it's somebody reported it, so it must be true. There's no proper journalism.
The Vatican used to wait for the white smoke. Not the dirty smoke to come out the chimney.
Well, we nearly had dirty smoke today in the curry house.
Jesus.
Deep Pan in the chat room says, why don't the Italians just surrender again?
Oh.
I went to do some work in Geneva. I'm going back 20 years. There was an Italian girl there. And I met her, introduced to her. I'd been watching and talking to someone else, and she'd had a good laugh with them, so I figured she was up for a bit of fun. No, she said, hi, I'm so-and-so from Italy. I said, oh, great. I said, who's in government this week? And she just gave me the stoniest look. She wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the week. That was it. I said, I was sorry. She said, without us, you'd still be eating with your hands.
Oh!
All right, well, you touched a nerve there. Sorry, girl, I didn't mean it. I think the retweet's the problem, and I think agencies, I mean, Bowen's just put, we need more fact-checkers. No, we don't. We just need people to not take something at face value.
Yeah, and that's, we have plenty of fact-checkers.
To be fair to Bowen, she did put that as well as. It's, you know, we need people to, and we don't need agencies to retweet it. You know, when the Daily Mail picks up a story and just runs with it without any checks, that's a real problem. When the Independent does it, when the Times does it, when any magazine does it, any professional outlet that could be construed as news does it, then that's a problem. If dickheads want to start websites to start propaganda and hate, that's for them to do. It's not fine. It's up to them to do, and it's up to the authorities to enforce that what they're spreading is not just blind hate, it is just propaganda. But no one's not entitled to promote their own propaganda as long as it's not hugely offensive to others, surely.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it is not limited to, I mean, politics or anything like that. I mean, you see the same thing going on in tech. I mean, I could tell a story about, I mean, how one of, the most reputable German tech magazine is now retweeting or reposting stories from Mac rumors, and I mean, those are really the bad ones, so not even the good stories, and the bad stories, as if they were the honest truth and Tim Cook had announced it. And I mean, that's not what they are supposed to do.
To be fair to Mac rumors, because I mean, don't forget, you are dissing my show notes for the Mac show there, because that's all I ever use. But to be fair to them, they don't post stuff saying it's gospel. They, you know, report the allegedly, etc.
Yeah.
And other people take that and twist it.
Yeah, exactly. But they do it. And I mean, it's not just make rumors. It's also all of the others. I mean, they are basically reposting whatever they can find in Rumorville. as if it was fact. And that is not what that is not critical thinking. That is not true journalism. That is just, copy and pasting. Translating it from English to German and then posting it. It's happening all over the world. And
I don't think
it's
as well,
sad.
There is an awful lot that isn't lost in translation. So you see an article in Italy that gets translated into English, and then from that English it's translated into German. It's not even a German translation from the Italian. And then you could see how this could be an entirely different meaning. Words are incomplete. You know, if you look at the way that English is... English formats John's apple. German does... John's Apfel, so they're in the same order, but French does L'Apfel, le Pomme de Jean. So it flips the sentence the other way around. And if you were to translate something from English to French and then to German, I'm sure that there's a real possibility of those orders making a completely different meaning in some ways as well as. So I don't think that helps. I'm trying to find a reason why, but grasping at straws.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there you go. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. I've deleted the bloody logo. I do this every week. I put down a nice picture of their page and all that kind of stuff, and then I use it on the Mac show, and then I delete it by the time I've got... I don't know how I've done that. I'm sorry, UK2. They're brilliant. Please support them because they support us. They have picked up everything for the last 10 years now. We don't pay for bandwidth. We don't pay for server space. We've got all of our shows going right back to the Bagel Tech days that are up there. We've got the NQL server. We've got the live server. We've got shows that are playing all day, every day, on that you pick up the link on Twitter. If you follow at British Tech, it'll show you when there's a new show being played. It's just brilliant, and it all comes down to UK2. They've looked after us for a long period of time. If you like what we provide, then we couldn't provide that without them. So please support them with your patronage and go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you want to sign in. We'll get the credit for that. Or go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and that'll give you the offer codes. You get credit for that and they get credit for that. And that applies to all returning business as well as. So if you've been a customer with UK2 and you've got a renewal coming up, you can still use our offer codes to get that 20% off. They've been really, really good pals to us, and we thank them so much. We're with them for at least the next 7 years because that's how long they've renewed the main server. And it's not a cheap server. It's £400 a month. So we do really appreciate their input into the BTN. It's lovely. And also check out Hoya. If you want glasses like mine at the moment, then you've got the Avantex. They are at podcast@hoya.co.uk. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you send an email to there saying, I want my local supplier and I want a rep there. Mark will organise it for you so that you get someone in. They'll do the fitting properly with the iPad and the prism and all that kind of stuff. And you get the top hole treatment. And you couldn't ask for a better bunch of people. And then come the new year, your Nika will be out there. And that will be unbelievable. I'm going to go and see all of that being done and made. And have my face measured. And it'll be awesome. Excellent. Right. We've had some reviews for Kyle, who does the photo show. And I wanted to give a shout out to him because the new show, yeah. I do the photo show, or not.
I could say.
I have done one this week, but I published it later. Someone's going, hang on, when was that story? Because the photo show, that wasn't this week, was it? I did the photo show. And I thought I published it. In my head, I absolutely published it. And it was only a week later that Ian Lewis said, are we ready to do the next show? And I'm like, yeah, I've done it. And he went, but I don't see it in my feed. Oh, what an ear. I hadn't posted it. Sorry. I'd had it done and I hadn't posted it. This is from Mr. Darkness. He said, the new show is my favourite tech news podcast. A sometimes hilarious look at the day's news. Quick yet concise, superbly hosted by the irreverent Mr. Carl Swagger. And always look forward to it for my 5-minute daily news fix. Well done, Kyle, because Kyle spends a couple of hours a day getting ready to do that show and then records it and posts it. And he works his butt off doing it. So please, please, please support Kyle if you can. Give him loads more reviews and get him boosted up there in iTunes. It's a really great show. Well worth listening to. Right, time for the cool thing. Starts off, Rosie Boy.
Well, I've got a TV show for you. It's called Tomorrow's World. And they got the thing this week called a cassette.
With Raymond Briggs.
And then they had this thing, they had a flying car. You piss-taking bastards. My real cool thing.
No, that's the BBC archive at bbc.co.uk/archive/tomorrow's world.
No, I'll just take the piss out of you for taking the piss out of me.
James Burke. Do you remember James Burke?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's still around.
Yeah.
Do you remember his programme Connections as well, where he went from one thing to the next and showed you this progression through to how we got space travel from a snail crawling in the ground? And I listened to a thing and it was like, oh, James Burke's here, the tech man, the man who knows everything, the science man. And he got there, he said, I don't know where you lot have all got this from. He said, well, you did all the science shows on BBC in the 60s and 70s. He said, No, he said, I've got a degree in art history. All I was good at was presenting. God!
You just ruined that. That's on tomorrow night.
I thought he was an absolute science god, and he's not. He's an art history degree holder. That's it.
I was looking forward to that tomorrow night.
Oh, no, he's still good. He's still the best. He's the man. Him and Raymond Briggs, man. They were awesome.
Wasn't he on the monkey?
Oh, and
monkey
Michael, what's his name as well? Michael Rodd. He was awesome.
This has gone wrong.
Judith Hann. She was hot in a not hot way. I was young. What can I say?
Maggie Philbin. Oh, yeah.
Everyone raved about Maggie Philbin, but I never got into her. But she obviously got into Keith Chegwin, so that's
No, Keith Chegwin got into her.
Moving on. Anyway, what's your real pick then?
It's a game that I've been looking for, a really good puzzle game for my wife, and this one here is called Traction Bakery. And you know those kind of things, I can't remember if it's a BMW or a Mercedes advert, where, you know, like a ping pong ball travels down a thing and then it hits a spring and it moves round and there's a reaction.
Rube Goldberg machine, isn't it? Or something?
Yeah, something like that. But the thing called Traction Bakery, and it's a really great game, and it actually starts out, it's quite weird, it starts off as a frame on a wall, but what you actually do, you ultimately zoom in and zoom in and zoom in, and then you get like down to these sort of levels of detail, and you can scroll around, and somewhere within this huge diagram there are little switches and things that you can start pressing. So there's an elephant and some whistles, and there's an electric thing here. So I don't know if you see there, there's a little blue thing on that electric thing there.
Yeah.
So you press that, and that does something, and that then sets something else off, and you then you find the next thing to set that off. And it is the most probably innovative game I've ever played on iOS. And it used to be a paid-for game, but it's now totally free. So if you want a really good game, and it'll take ages to get used to it, there are no instructions because they don't feel that you need to have instructions, but just as originality of iOS games, this is one of the best ones ever.
Traption Bakery, TRAPTION Bakery,
and the ultimate goal is to bake a loaf of bread at the end of completing all of that cycle.
Okay. Cool.
Wasn't there a bloke who used to do cartoons like this and he's died recently?
Yeah, it's based on him.
I thought it was.
Yeah. Batwin says, a puzzle game for Paulum's wife. Why did she marry him?
Oh,
sounds like Mousetrap, says Magic Man. Looks like Mousetrap, says Magic Man. Okay.
Does it play as badly?
I can't remember that. I think it's Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, it is.
Right, good pick, mate. Camps.
There we go. There's a link in the chat room. So I trekked myself this week to an Apple Watch Series 2. I got the stainless steel, and that came with the white sport band. I wanted something just a bit smarter for work. So I had a bit of a look around, and I put in the Slack room yesterday, because I went into the Apple store, and I think the prices, particularly in the UK, have jumped up quite a lot. I looked at the Milanese Loop, and for a watch strap, no way were I prepared to pay that sort of money for the Apple one. So I had a bit of a look around, and I ordered the Jetek Milanese Loop from Amazon, and it's arrived today. don't know if you can see there.
I'll put a picture of it up, but okay.
Okay, even better. So I'm really impressed with it. I had a good look at the one in the Apple Store yesterday. This, to my eye, looks pretty much identical. It fits really nice and secure. The magnet's super tight on there. It's got plenty of room in there in terms of, I know that you've got quite big big hands, Ewan, so not I don't
even,
know how this
not
would fit.
Not even close, mate. I have to undo the strap to get it on.
All right, so I don't know how this would suit you, but for me, absolutely fine. So, yeah, $11.95 in the UK on Amazon or Prime, so free. The quality of it looks nice. What it'll look like in 6 months, I don't know, but at $11.95, I can just buy another one for that price. Looks nice. Really happy with it.
Excellent, mate. I've got to say, actually, if there's anyone out there listening who's got an outlet for watch straps for the Apple Watch for people who are of a larger disposition, then for Christ's sake, send them in as a link, because at the moment it's driving me mad. You go everywhere, everything on Amazon, it just fits, it's on the last notch. I went into the Apple Store with Patrice last week, yeah, and I was so impressed with the layout, and you could actually take them off and you could slide them on your watch and go, oh, I like that. Every single one of them was on the last buckle.
Yeah, it was the standard size.
Drove me mental. Please, 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 Apple, make some, and I will spend the money and buy them. And if you are out there, please, if you know any large straps that would go around. Now, Camps is saying there with the Milanese loop, you can get it on. I can't get it over my hand without dislocating my thumb. it's just doesn't fit over my knuckles there because they drag on the floor and they swell. So just please, please, please send me anything that you know that's a bigger size. And it's got to be a bigger size, okay? Not just standard stuff that might look a bit bigger. Make sure you know it's bigger. Anyone that's out there that's a bit fat fudger like me, then send this in. Good pick, mate. And that's only going to rush you £24.90 for the really nice... Oh, no, £15, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, £11.95. They do it in silver and rose gold at £11.95, £11.99, and they do it in black at £10.95.
You can buy them in all kinds of colours. You can get them in an anodised purple and stuff like that.
Yeah, I looked through. Obviously, there's loads of Apple Watch bands on Amazon, but it was the Jetek one that I'd heard about. I don't know what the other makes are like. The reviews seem fairly mixed, but the Jetek ones, all the reviews look pretty good. And I'm pleased. It comes really well boxed. It's not just in a plastic bag like some of the other ones that I've read upon. So I might give their leather loop a go next, because that's only running at about £10 as well.
The only one that you've got to say watch out for with the Jetek stuff is that some of the links, they're not closed properly. So if you catch a thread on your clothing and you pull it, that's it. Then it catches forever. You can't tuck it back in or anything.
Oh, right. Shit, I just bought one.
No. They're great. They're absolutely great. Just have a look down the links. Some of them are a bit rough and ready, shall we say.
Cool.
And like I said, anyone can come up with a fat boy link, then I'll send money deeply to you. Thank you. Good pick, mate. Thank you. Patrice?
I'm going to pick a book. It's a biography about Elon Musk. Now, if you know me, you know I'm not a big fan of that guy. I don't like Tesla particularly, and I think, I mean, overall, he's a douche. But he has done some crazy things with his companies. And this book, I picked it up on Audible. And it was actually pretty good. I mean, there are things in it where I say, okay, it's maybe glorifying him a little bit more than would be necessary. But especially the SpaceX parts and how that company came to be and what they did and how crazy he was and so on. It's really just entertaining. Listen to it in the car. And I mean, I can just highly recommend it. It's well written, it is well narrated if you're getting the audiobook, and it's definitely worth the time. And
but do you know why you should invest in him, though, mate, if you dislike him?
Why?
Because he's going to go to Mars and he's probably going to die doing it.
Ah,
you can hasten his end.
He actually said he wouldn't go to Mars, or at least not at first.
Yeah, because he'd be a pauper there, wouldn't he? There's no banks on Mars.
Yeah. True. Maybe he's going to open the first bank on Mars. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's, as I said, it's a really great book, and I really enjoyed it, so I thought it would be something you might enjoy as well.
Mm. Yeah. He's going to open up the first ever server on Mars for Mars.com, and there's going to be a an invitation for PayPal waiting for him as soon as he gets it.
Yeah. You could have one of your wagons up there.
What wagon? Oh, with a terror 100 petabytes.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
Park it up there.
For there's an idea.
Well, that would probably do all for the data for the whole of Mars for forever, wouldn't it? For a colony.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you have your off-site backup. It's even on another planet. Yeah.
Dude, there you go. Muller, cool thing?
Yeah, mine's free, so you'll be happy. And it's seasonal. And it's Christmas cards from Hubble. You can print them out yourself.
Have you dropped that mic again, Muller?
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to post my link at the same time.
Start again. I can edit.
Okay, then. It's Christmas cards from Hubble, which you can print out on your own printer.
Oh, I say.
And they're totally free, and they're totally cool. So there you go. Free one for you.
Well, okay. Now, I'd go with the idea. Did have you just picked this in desperation because you forgot to do something? Or have you actually bought one of these and thought, my God, that's the nicest thing I've ever seen?
I saw it on the sporting. I've got to get a new printer, actually.
Yeah, okay, so here you go. This is how to make a picture from Hubble look like a piece of shit.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, the typography is awful.
So Hubble takes a fantastic picture, and then some twat at the card company has superimposed a Norwegian pine forest in front of it. It's like, hang on, if the sky looks like that, I think we're all screwed.
Yeah.
I ain't buying that.
Well, I bet they're nice anyway.
The Andromeda Galaxy with season's greetings. And some snowflakes in front of it.
Moonshite.com.
It is. God, it's... There you go. See, there's the next picture. That is the Andromeda Galaxy with some snowflakes on it.
Everyone said it was actually...
He might as well spat
you
on
didn't
it.
Do... You didn't check, did you? You
I just, did.
I'll find something quickly because I haven't got a link.
No, I saw these this morning and I thought, you know, it's free. It's seasonal. And it comes from NASA.
I don't see your ice bullet.
Oh, he's got the wife. Oh, the wife went out and got the decorations down this afternoon. I helped her, and she's like every time I come home, every year she's bought some piece of tat. I'm not anti Christmas decorations. I'm not bar humbug. I am just, you know, for me, it's about very basic colours for Christmas: red, green, yep, white. Gold and silver. That's fine. Good. That's thing. It. Yep. I can't be doing anything else. And she's got like a neon bent reindeer thing that you plug in and...
I think we saw that on the Christmas market.
That was last year.
The Christmas market, right?
And she bought it because just for the pure purpose, she knows it winds me up. I want something nice and classy out there. I don't want to turn into Blackpool Illuminations.
So this year it's going to be a 7-foot blow-up snowman on your front driveway. Oh,
God, I tell you what, it could be a divorce. If there's any divorce lawyers out there, then get in touch because you might have some business coming your way.
You haven't told Righty why we can't get into Lime 4? Because we're living in there at the moment, aren't we? We're having a party and everything. We're setting up for Christmas.
Oh, no.
We moved his furniture around and all sorts.
I'll tell you what. No, forget it. I won't say that. No, I can't say that.
These are nice. These are. Yeah, that's a nice one. The moon with peace on it.
You've got no taste. No mic technique and no taste. My cool thing, and this is really a cool thing. I really like this. I want us to all at BTN throw our weight behind it. Because it is a super cool thing. What would you say, right, if I said to you one of our listeners had created a song, recorded it, released it, put it on CD, put it in iTunes, and it could be Christmas number one?
What?
Because that's what's happened. Nigel Milligan is a listener to BTN. He is the IT technician at St. Herbert's Roman Catholic Primary School. and using logic and microphones and stuff like that that the school had, he has created the Christmas Is Coming. It's a completely original song. I'm going to turn it up a bit. Here we go. Christmas Is Coming, big drum mix. That's on iTunes, and you can buy the CD for a fiver and he'll post it to you. But all the money, all the proceeds from the sale of this go to creating a new wing at the school that will provide an outreach help for people who want to come in and talk about their problems and all that kind of stuff. And it all goes back into the kids, all right? So, my cool thing this week, and the cool thing for the, all the way in from here to Christmas, is going to be St. Herbert's Roman Catholic Primary School single for Christmas, which is Christmas Is Coming. And the reason is, it was made by a BTNer. And if that's good, not, if that's not got your bottom lip wobbling and you reaching for 79 pence in iTunes, then stop listening to the network and piss off, you tight bastards. That's all it is.
79, get the link in there, Ewan. Let's buy it now.
79 pence. That's all it is for you guys. That's all you got to do. And every time you play it in your Apple, I think it's available in Apple Music as well. So you can every time you play it, they're going to get some money from that.
Good. So you should probably play it instead of play it and buy it, so you can
buy it,
get more money
and play it on loop.
It's available on Google Play and Amazon Music as well as. And if you buy the CD from the school, it's £5 plus £1.49 postage and packing. And it's stherberts.oldham.sch.uk is the link. I've put it in the chat room. Go and buy it. So just Google St. Herbert's Roman Catholic Primary School and you'll find the link to it all. I'm not a great religious person, but I can put me hatred of religion to one side at Christmas and plump a Roman Catholic religious song. There we go. Because it's for the kids, mate. Buy the CD or stop listening to the show and bugger off, you tight ass. Did I say that strongly enough?
Yeah. Yes, good work.
Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Rad?
Hello, mate. Out there on the Twitter sometimes, not as much as we used to be, but always in the Slack room, and me and Camps and the boys doing the old reviews at BritishTechNetwork.com.
Doing really well, mate. And we're taking reviews from anyone who wants to send a review. And if you want to send a review in, Righty will double-check that you aren't writing stuff that's going to get us in court. But we'll post what your review of an item. So if you get given some crap for Christmas, then... Santa's coming back as well. Crap for Christmas, then get it sent in to Righty at BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com and he will pick it up and he will repost it onto the site with your name on it.
And thank you to everyone who's done it so far. We've had loads. It's been brilliant.
It has. It's been great. And we're also looking at a whole new way, aren't we, of categorising these so that people can find them as well. Because at the moment
we kind of just do the latest one. So yeah, just trying a few ideas.
So we're gonna try and find a way of categorising these so you can find the iOS ones, the Android ones, the home automation ones, that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's cool.
Everyone's been awesome.
Great job on that. And likewise, great job, Camps, on it.
Cheers.
Oh, he's gone into Blocker Vision, mate.
Rubber?
Yeah, you want to sell that camera, it's shit. Either that or stop using eyeglasses on it or
maybe it's not the camera, maybe it's him.
You're zooming in using webcam settings or something, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what causes it, you see, because it's not built for that. Go on then, mate. Where are you?
Camping UK on Twitter, around the Slack room, and, yeah, as Paul says, throwing some reviews onto BritishTechNetwork.com/reviews. I've got a couple more to write, and I'll get them in there this week.
Excellent, mate. Great job.
Well done.
Thank you. Patrice, where are you?
Well, as every week on the Mac Show, and all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
And you cook for us, mate.
I did. We cooked together. Well, we cooked together one night, and the other night I cooked with Bryony, actually.
Patrice was itching. I cooked the first night, and he was itching to get in and help. I was like, do you know what? Yeah. You just cook, mate. And he cooked us his own little thing, and I'm telling you what. Boy can cook. We should log into his casual kitchen.
Well, I should say half of the work was done by your daughter. So,
she just did the crusty bit for the top of the chicken, mate. So,
No. She did it
which
way
doesn't make
more
it sound that appetizing the way I say it, really, does it? But it was it was gorgeous. It was lovely, lovely grub. And the carrot rice, mate. That we're having that in future. Well done. And Muller, where the devil are you, mate?
Muller Biker on Twitter.
Use the mic.
Sorry.
Mike.
Muller Biker on Twitter. And on line 4, decorating Paulum's little room for him.
He's down my back passage.
Oh, moving on. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Buy St. Herbert's single for Christmas so that shit on X Factor doesn't get on.
Well said.
To the Christmas number one. Yeah. It's worth it just for that, more than anything
well
else.
Well said.
And chuck some money at them. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. At British Tech on Twitter as well. Don't forget to tweet out and say well done to UK2 for supporting us at UK2. And we'll see you next week. 4 p.m. if you want to watch the Mac show, and 8 p.m. if you want to watch the big show. All on Fridays. Let's listen.